Mornings are better with a warm beverage, even for Latter-day Saints. Meet Postum, the ideal coffee alternative and proud sponsor of This Week in Mormons podcast. Spot it on the coffee aisle at Smith's Grocery or at your local nearby store. Can't locate it? No worries. Order it at Postum.com. Explore delicious recipes to tailor your Postum experience. Start your day off right with Postum.
Welcome to This Week in Mormons, the Twim Sisters edition with your hosts, Arianne Smith
and Tiffany Hales.
We're here for March.
We were supposed to be here a couple weeks ago. We were scheduled to record, and then the news of the Kirtland Temple broke, and you were kind enough to push it back a couple weeks so I could do a special Kirtland Temple episode.
Glad I did, because that was fun to hear from your guests.
It was. They had some great ties. So
we are a little bit later than expected, but we're here.
So what has been going on in your life?
We are on the tail end of spring break.
Yes.
So that has been great. And we went up to the mountains for a couple days to get out of town.
And so great. Then you've been home.
Then we've been home just doing all the things.
Are you anxious to send your children back to school on Monday?
I am ready because I don't know what day of the week it is. I'm so confused. You know how you just, well, it's always like that.
Yeah.
If you miss a church day.
Yeah.
The whole rest of your week, you're like, what day is it?
Exactly. It just throws you off. And then, especially if the kids aren't going to school you're just like, and at least in the summertime, you have a routine. You're like, okay, on Mondays, we do this. On Tuesdays, we do that.
Yes. I'm ready for some regularity again. And my lucky little kids also have a winter break in February that was exactly 1 month ago.
Oh.
So it's very convenient. I'm like, we just did this.
So do they have that winter break plus spring break?
Plus spring break.
Oh, wow.
So lucky for them, very confusing for me. I'm sure the teachers love it.
Okay.
So anyway, how about you? What's new with you?
Well, just had kind of a busy month of March. So last Saturday, I went to this leadership conference training.
Oh, I need to hear about this. And you told me this was coming up.
Yes.
And this was like a regional thing.
This was a region. Well, I shouldn't say a regional thing. It involved five stakes. And
was my stake one of them?
Yes, your stake was one of them. Now, I had heard that they were doing these because one of the lawyers I work with, he's a bishop, and he had one last fall, and Elder Oopdorf came to theirs because he was asking me, because he'd never heard of it before. And he's like, are you invited to this? And I was like, no, I don't know anything about that. And so they try and do them in clusters of stakes.
Okay.
What I learned is they really like to do everybody within a mission area. But in this area, with all of the stakes that we have here,
too many.
You'd have to rent out an arena to be able to have everybody there. So they just go through it, and they had five stakes. Now, here's the reason I got invited. Because it was for bishoprics, elders' quorum president, primary president, young women's president, and relief society president.
Which you are not.
I am not the relief society president, but I am the first counselor. The relief society president was out of town.
Okay.
Her nephew was getting married, and so that is why I went.
You had to go represent.
I had to represent. So I was one part fascinated by the logistics of all of this, and then what happened. So first of all, they held it at my building. I'm not sure why they selected my building.
Because you're not the stake center, are you?
No, we are the stake center.
Oh, you are the stake center.
We are the stake center. But so they held it at my building, and the month of March is my ward's month to clean the building.
Mm.
So because we had an apostle coming, this apparently involved the necessity of doing very deep cleaning.
This was a deep clean.
So we had to show up on Monday night to clean, like deep clean on Monday night. Wednesday night after Young Women's, they had to go and clean up again. Then the building was closed Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Like nobody could do anything in the building on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then Saturday night after everything was over with, they had to go clean again.
What? Okay, this seems a little intense because we frequently have like general authorities come to state conference, correct?
Yes.
I've never heard of a special pre-state conference cleaning.
Somebody
in your stake needs to see that meme that's going around on Instagram that is like, I've never had a guest come to my house and look at my baseboard.
Well, and I am without words because I thought the same thing. I'm like, I don't really think Elder Cook is even going to notice. But in any event, he was our general authority that came.
Okay.
was Quentin
Elder
Cook.
Okay.
So He was there along with the 70 and along with a regional person. So let me finish the logistics and then I'll tell you about the conference.
Okay.
So because this involved five stakes and all these people, they said, you will not be allowed to park in the stake center parking lot unless there are three or more people in your vehicle. Oh. We will not let you in.
Oh.
So they obviously encouraged carpooling. Okay. So my ward did it. We found the young women's president who properly owns a minivan. We loaded up in the minivan.
Whole
ward
piled in.
Well, with the exception of the bishop and the elders quorum president, because they were there early for another meeting, but they got dropped off. So we all piled into the van to go home after the meeting.
Okay.
So then when you arrived, you were not allowed to go into the building because the doors were locked.
Oh.
Because they had the other meetings still going on.
Oh.
So you had to line up outside the building and there was a specific door you had to line up.
What?
And then precisely at 10 o'clock or shortly thereafter, those doors opened. And then when you went in, if you were this stake, you were directed to go left. These stakes went left. Uh-huh. These stakes went right because you had assigned seating in the chapel and cultural hall.
What?
I know. So,
because like, they wanted you all to sit together.
They wanted
with your
you
steak.
To sit together with your steak.
Okay.
So I just assumed, you know, knowing how big this was, I'm like, my butt's going to be on a hard chair.
Right.
And I was kind of wondering how I was going to do that because I can do a hard chair for about 45 minutes after that. I'm like, I got to walk around. Oh, no, no. We not only did we get padded benches, we got padded benches front and center.
You got priority seating.
We got priority
seating.
Because
you were the hosts, right?
Well, that's what I am assuming.
And you cleaned the building three times.
That is what I'm assuming. In fact, my...
It only seems fair.
It only seems fair. In fact, my husband ran into the stake president the day after and was saying something to the stake president about, hey, nice way to get the Eagle Stake priority seating. And he's like, I don't have anything to do with that. The people doing this did that. So,
that is so interesting.
I literally sat seven rows back, dead center from the pulpit. So I was, yes, so it was great. So I was not on a hard chair. So I was able to sit the entire, because the meeting lasted 3 hours.
Wow.
So I was able to sit the entire 3 hours. So the way that
that's
they...
a long meeting.
I know. Well, the way that they structure these things is the first half of the meeting, they have speakers. And so they had, obviously, Elder Cook spoke. They had some woman from some other rando stake that was part of this. I never got what her title was that spoke. And they had the 70 that spoke. And they had Elder Larson that spoke. And I'm trying to think who else they had that spoke. And then after that, they opened it up to question and answer. So they had an hour and a half of question and answer. Oh, they had
like on the spot. You just raise your hand and ask a question.
Yes,
this
they
wasn't
had
like a pass your paper.
Yes,
your
no,
secret paper.
They had the mission president speak. They had the Boise mission president speak. He spoke too. So I have to tell you, okay, Elder Cook was very Elder Cook.
Okay,
Elder Wong. His name is Sam Wong.
Okay.
I really had never, I mean, the 70, they're kind
of like a member of the 70.
They're kind of like a dime a dozen to me. You know, you've met one, you've met them all.
I can't keep track of them. Yeah.
So I am here to tell you, he is the church's best kept secret.
Really?
They need to parade him out far more than they do.
Have we heard him speak in conference?
He did speak in conference. He was the first general authority to ever speak in conference in his native language because he was born in Hong Kong. So he speaks Cantonese. Mm-hmm. And so English is a second language. He joined the church when he was 19.
Okay.
And so he is a convert to the church. He then went to BYU Hawaii. He got a degree in computer science, went back to Hong Kong, got his master's degree there and started some sort of computer company in Hong Kong. He is freaking hilarious.
Oh.
Now, this, of course, never comes across in general conference because they're all buttoned up
and
tight.
You can't be hilarious.
You cannot be hilarious in general conference.
It's against the rules.
It's against the rules. He is seriously so funny. And it makes him so relatable.
Yes, I love it.
So
when they crack jokes.
Relatable. Like he was talking about somebody in one of the questions asked about, you know, what makes a good marriage or something like that. And he was talking about, he's like, oh, yeah, me and my wife fight all the time. No, we don't fight about big things. We fight about, you know, who forgot to plug in the electric toothbrush? Who forgot to do this? I mean, typical spats that you have in a marriage. And it was just, he was so funny and so charming. And I was just like, the church needs to parade him out more often because
I wonder where he lives. Is he in Utah?
Yes, he's Utah based.
He's Utah
from
based.
What I could tell.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay. So when they're asking these questions, is it the whole panel? They all get to answer?
Yes. So here's how the question thing works. Cause you know, the talks are the talks. Okay. Yeah. So they had cordless microphones and they had ushers who had the microphones. And so Elder Cook was kind of directing the whole thing and you would raise your hand and then he'd point to the usher and say, you know, go give the microphone to this person. Mm-hmm. Oh, I do have to mention something on the seating, you know, where my stake was front and center. Your stake was invited to this Meridian North.
Oh, where are they sitting?
Well, and you know how special your stake is, that you live in Zion and I apparently live in outer darkness. I don't know.
They're extra. So
They're extra.
I expect good seats.
They sat in the very back of the culture hall in the corner. That's how extra your stake is.
Well, you know.
I kind of had to laugh.
That is so funny.
Because they made everybody stand up by stake when they got in there so you could see where everybody was seated.
They had the hard seats?
They had the hard seats in the very back. Something I'm sure they're probably not used to. And something I'm pretty sure that if President Carter was still around, probably wouldn't have been allowed.
They're used to hosting. So
exactly.
They might have been a little bit miffed they didn't get to host.
Exactly.
I don't know.
So anyway, so the rules for the questions. Well, first of all, he said, you know, you can ask any question you want. Elder Cook said that. I can't guarantee I'm going to answer it.
Okay.
I'll decide whether or not I want to answer it.
Little disclaimer there.
Little disclaimer there. So when you got up, you had to say the stake that you were from, and then you had to say what your calling was. You know, if you were a young women's president or you were an elders quorum president or you were in the bishop brick, you had to say what your calling was.
Oh, so there is no anonymous question here. You got to own your question.
You got to own your question.
That's a lot of pressure.
It is a lot of pressure. So anyway, first question out of the gate. Now, we have talked about this on the podcast. We have talked about the rules for missionary dinners
in our
area.
The new rule. You may not have the missionaries over for dinner unless you have an investigator also over. Or someone who's not active also over to your house for dinner.
Yes.
I fear these poor missionaries are no longer getting fed.
They're really not. But that's a whole discussion for another day. Yeah, there was like a whole video they put out on this. Mm-hmm. So I have had my fair share of difficulties with this policy. Let's just put it that way. I have expressed this here on the TWIM. And so first question out of the gate was from your stake. This guy gets up and he says, I'm so-and-so. I am a brand new bishop in the Meridian North stake. And he said, I want to talk about the missionary dinner policy. He's like, I got a problem with that. And he's like, I realize that's my own issue I got to work on. But I want to talk about that. And I want to know if there's exceptions when you can have them over and what those exceptions are. And what about the youth and all of that stuff. And I was just like, I don't know who you are, Bishop, but I am impressed that you got up, admitted you had a problem with the policy in front of the mission president
and
who's there. Very first question out of the gate. So, of course, Elder Cook was completely bedaffled at this question.
Did he even know that this policy existed?
No.
He was like,
I'm not really sure. Can we get Elder Maxwell, the mission president, up here to answer? Uh-huh. So Elder Maxwell answered and, you know, gave his litany of reasons as to why he thinks the policy is wonderful. But I did garner a golden nugget out of this that I have not had a chance to ask my missionaries about. So, you know, one of the reasons that they don't want the missionaries meeting with the members during that time period is that's kind of prime time for the missionaries.
Okay,
I totally get that. Missionaries get into the houses, they don't get out, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So he did say, well, you can have them over during that time period and you could feed them. Well, he kind of said you could feed them. He said you could have them over during that time period without an investigator and without a less active, but for no longer than 30 minutes. He said, but you know, nobody can do dinner in 30 minutes. And I went,
are you kidding me? I do dinner in 30 minutes every night.
I do dinner in less than 30 minutes every night. I was
we're out, we're on our way.
Exactly.
And actually, I love that. I would be more likely to have them over if I knew this was a 30-minute deal.
Seriously. So that was my takeaway is I was like, because I guess, I don't know, maybe some people aren't capable of serving dinner at 6 if you have them over at 6. I am perfectly capable. If you show up at my house at 6, I am going to have a spread ready to go.
Yes.
There's your plate. Say the prayer. Eat your food. Get
down,
out of my house.
It's time to pray.
Exactly.
Yes.
I was like, I could totally easily do a 30-minute dinner. And like you, I'm like, I would love a 30-minute dinner because I got other stuff I got to move on to.
Yeah. And then you don't have to like sit through the mandatory lesson.
Exactly.
Which, while it brings the spirit and is usually lovely, can be difficult on a weeknight for a busy family.
Well, you can have a quick mm-hmm. spiritual thought and send them out the door. Mm-hmm. So when I go to my missionary correlation meeting this Sunday, if the missionaries are there because they weren't there last Sunday, I am going to ask them about this because I am much more inclined to feed the missionaries if it is a 30-minute meal and they are in and out and that doesn't violate their rules.
Yeah, I think the numbers could skyrocket on this.
I do too.
Of volunteers.
Okay. So then I am going to, I need to move on from this topic. We have a lot to cover tonight, but I have to get to the most ridiculous question because I don't have words for the most ridiculous question.
Oh, I want to hear this.
So this relates to our purchase of the Kirtland Temple and all of the accompaniments with that. She got up and she said, okay, now that we have the Joseph Smith translation, will it be made available to all? And then she asked, did Joseph Smith use the Urim and Thummim to translate everything? And will this change the 8th article of faith?
What?
I know. So Elder Cook said, no, we are not changing the 8th article of faith. And no, we've had the Joseph Smith translation for quite some time. Now we just have the originals. We're good. And then he got into a little bit about the translation with the Urim and Thummim.
That is quite the question. Although, points to her for just going for it.
Anyway, there you go. That's enough on my leadership conference.
That is so funny.
Okay, should we move on to some news stories?
Yes.
Let's move on to news stories because we got a lot this week.
We're going to start off with the doozy.
Yes, yes, we are. I shouldn't say we have a lot. We just have
A lot to discuss.
A lot to discuss.
Especially with this first one.
Okay, so the first one we're going to discuss is last Sunday, which was March 17th. Mm-hmm. That was technically the birthday for the Relief Society. I believe it was like the 182nd birthday of the Relief Society.
Yeah, something kind of random. Yeah.
Anyway, in honor of that, the church released a video. And they released a video about 2 days before that. And they encouraged all of the Relief Society sisters to watch the video. And you had many options for watching the video. You could watch it on your own. They also encouraged Relief Society groups to gather together if they wanted to.
I thought this was going to be a live broadcast because everybody was gathering on Sunday night. But you're saying this was a pre-recorded.
This was a pre-recorded video. And so the video came out about 2 days beforehand. So in my ward, what we ended up doing is we sent the sisters a link to the video and we said, look, you can watch this on your own or anybody who wants to watch it can come to my house. And so I had about 6 sisters come to my house and we sat and we watched it together. So
our stake was doing it at all of the church buildings at a certain time.
Okay.
But I missed it because, like I said, we were going for spring break.
Okay. So. And so the video, of course, starts out with not only the General Relief Society presidency, but also the Young Women's presidency and the primary presidency. And they said, you know, whether you're serving in Young Women's or primary, we are all Relief Society sisters. So, you know, that was kind of nice that they acknowledged that. And then, of course, the Relief Society presidency spoke and President Nelson spoke. And the video itself was only about 40 minutes. It was not very long. And then you were encouraged to have a discussion after the video was over with. So
did you guys discuss?
We did. We had a lovely discussion and then we had cookies because
I heard a lot of people had testimony meetings afterwards.
And you could do a testimony meeting or like I said, we just kind of did a discussion and it was lovely. So, you know, I did not mind the video at all. There is some backlash for one of the talks that has come up recently. I'm going to let you address that and kind of discuss what happened this week, kind of post video as the fallout all fell down.
Oh my goodness. It has been wild. Okay. So like I said, I was up in the mountains, so
yes.
I missed the video, but so I thought, oh, I'll have to watch it later. Well, within 24 hours, this thing went viral. So the church on their official church Instagram page posted 3 different quotes from the speakers that evening. So, and I believe they were the 3 in the Relief Society presidency. So one that they posted went completely bananas viral. And that was the first one I saw floating around. I was like, oh, what's this? Because, you know, I hadn't seen what I missed. And then I read it and I was like, oh.
The second I read it, I was like, oh no. The quote that they chose to like highlight.
And this was from Sister Dennis's
Instagram.
Talk.
Was from Sister Dennis, first counselor, right?
Yes.
In the Relief Society presidency. And the quote said, "There is no other religious organization in the world that I know of that has so broadly given power and authority to women." And then they followed it up. There's like a second part of the quote.
Yes.
That they put in the comments section, which she basically, what she's referring to is women in our church, every woman has authority, like priesthood power for whatever calling she's in, versus, you know, other churches where they ordain one minister for the whole congregation.
Yeah.
That's a woman. So anyways, this went so viral because right when I read it, I was like, ooh, there are many layers of weirdness to this.
Yeah.
I was like, why did they pick that one? Not the greatest. So layer one, you have like comparing us to other churches.
Yes.
That was like a big, it just felt yucky, right?
Yeah.
Like we have the authority more than these other churches.
Yeah.
Like it felt very dismissive of other religions. Which I don't think in general we typically
Not to do that.
And then the other thing, which was very triggering for the women of the church, was just that we have this broadly given power and authority. So they post this on Instagram with some lovely artwork. The comment section blew up.
Okay, before we get to the comment section, we have to talk about the artwork. Because
yes.
The artwork, again, the artwork was beautiful, but it was not what you would expect.
The
you
artwork.
Would expect something that, it was very non-traditional LDS.
Right, which they've been using quite
they
a
have
bit,
been.
Of, especially on their social media. They've been including
so they
like,
had
diverse artists.
These four women with all, with various skin colors.
Yes.
But the funny thing was, is no one was really smiling. They were all giving side eyes.
No, this is what kills me. And I, when I first saw the post, it took me 2 days to notice the artwork.
Uh-huh.
Because I was so distracted by the quote and the fallout from the quote. That it wasn't until I got on the TWIM Instagram page or the TWIM Facebook page and some of the TWIM listeners were posting in the comment section on there, did you see the artwork? Even the ladies in the artwork are giving side eye. And I went and looked and I was like, oh my goodness, the ladies in the art are giving total side eye. It looks like they're rolling their eyes.
It does.
Looks like they're looking at each other like.
It's so hilarious.
Yeah, right. I was like, this is perfection. Also, I'm like, I love this picture so much now. I kind of wanted like a church bag with it on it. I think this artist should capitalize on this. I think she should like make a line of church bags. We'd all take them to church with the shady ladies giving side eye. I would totally take that to put my primary supplies.
I would too. I really like the artwork. Not gonna lie.
It was perfection. And the artist actually got on the comments.
I didn't know the artist got on the comments.
In the comment section.
Okay.
I noticed it. Okay, so first we'll go back to the comments.
Go back
section.
To the comments.
So comments blow up. By the time I saw that this was going on, it was Monday. I was still up in the mountains.
Yes.
And I saw this on my phone kind of blowing up everywhere. I was like, oh man, this is, I'm going to go check this out. So I look at this post and I see the quote and I'm shocked. And then I see that there are over 5,000 comments. This is 24 hours later. 5,000 comments, which if you look at the church Instagram, that is a lot.
That is a lot.
Like an average post on the church Instagram will get like a couple hundred.
What was the last really controversial one that we had that had thousands of comments? Because I went down the rabbit hole of comments.
Oh, I think it was like COVID times. Wasn't it like back when?
Yeah, might have been.
Right,
I can't
back
remember.
When the prophet was getting vaccinated.
Yeah.
I feel like, and Facebook, we had like a lot of like,
yeah.
Facebook stuff then, but I don't know if an Instagram post has ever
I don't think so.
Like typically,
definitely Facebook posts have.
Yeah, typically their Instagram posts get like 100 or 200 comments. I think like a big one, like the I looked at the Kirtland Temple one. It had maybe close to 400, and that was big news.
Well, and so. I think probably one of the reasons too is there's a lot more women on Instagram than there are.
Yes, absolutely. Because when you look at the same post on Facebook, it only has like couple thousand.
Yeah.
So this grows throughout
yes.
the week. So the comment section as of tonight.
Yeah. How many as of tonight?
Is
over 15,000 comments.
Wow.
On this Instagram post. And I will say,
they are blowing up the internet on this.
It's blowing up Instagram. And I have to say, as I really deep dived into the comments on Monday when I saw that there were 5,000, I was like, I'm
well,
so curious.
And the comments are all over the page.
Yeah.
They're all over the spectrum, I should say, not the page.
There is the spectrum, but I will say the majority of comments are women who are like,
not my experience.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
this does not ring true for me. And I have to say, like, I really deep dived on Monday and I've looked here and there through the week. Mm-hmm. But as of Monday, when there were only 3,000 or 5,000, I was super impressed with the back and forth in the comments.
Okay.
At that time, it was very
civil,
civil, constructive.
Okay.
Women sharing their experiences.
Okay.
Women supporting each other. Some women saying, oh, well, that hasn't been my experience at all. But in general, fairly supportive. I think now that we're up to 15,000, I'm sure there are pockets of nastiness.
Well, and the church put an interesting thing on the page. They said
they piped in around Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah. They said the church's social media team acknowledges the numerous comments that have emerged in response to this post. Thank you for taking the time to share your thoughts, feelings, and experiences. Your comments will be shared with church leaders who follow these issues. We, like you, strive to follow the example of Jesus Christ in our interactions, including conversations online.
I thought that was interesting.
I thought that was very interesting. I have never seen the church post anything like this on anything that has gotten a significant amount of traction.
I thought it was very smart for them to acknowledge that we will pass these on because that's what everybody wanted to hear.
Exactly.
Like who's going to see this?
Well, and then there was some shade because a bunch of comments disappeared.
Yes.
And so they were then, the naysayers were then accusing the church of deleting all of the negative comments. And the church was like, no, that wasn't us. Come to find out it was a big old Instagram glitch.
Well, that's what they say. But according to the, was it the Salt Lake Tribune article or the New York Times? That may not have been true.
No, because I think the Salt Lake Tribune article said that there was somewhere in England that there was an Instagram page that was also having issues that same day. Because the comments did then magically reappear.
They did reappear. And the church, someone in the church like said, this is an Instagram glitch. And people were skeptical. And then people said, oh, I'm so sorry. We were skeptical. It was an Instagram glitch. But one of the news articles I said they have yet to confirm.
Oh, like,
okay. So I don't know. But the comments are back.
The comments are back.
That is good. The comments were so interesting. So interesting. I have to say, I related to so many of them.
Okay.
There were just a lot of women that were saying, hey, and active members. That's what shocked me the most.
Yeah.
Like so many active faithful. This was not, there were some former members in the comments, definitely. Majority as of Monday, when I really deep dived, so many active members that are faithful and going to church every week and said, hey, this doesn't ring true for my experience. Yeah. I've been in a leadership position and I really wasn't able to do this or this or this. Everything had to go through a man. We do have power, priesthood power, like to do our callings. Yes, we've been granted power, we've been set apart, but still, everything has to go through a man. Women aren't really like in the room when big decisions are made from the ward level up to the tippy top. So there was a just really good discussion about that, I felt like, in the comments. And I so felt seen. I did not comment, but reading their comments, honestly, I was like, oh my gosh, it's not just me. I felt like so, I don't know. Like, I'm not the only one that has had experiences like that.
Yeah. And you know what? And I think that's cool. And I mean, obviously from the comments, there isn't, I probably, still waters run deep. There are a lot of underlying things that maybe the church leaders weren't aware of that women were feeling. For me, and maybe partly, this is partly because, I'm several years older than you. I'm ahead of you in learning and growing. When I read the quote from Sister Dennis and when I heard the quote from Sister Dennis, it was one of those things that, I went, oh, well, okay. Yeah. maybe, maybe not, you know, sort of thing. It did not bother me as personally as it bothered you or a lot of the people on Instagram. And that is not to say that I'm not minimizing what you feel or, mm-hmm. or anything like that. It's more reflective of how I have processed things and where I am in my journey, because 15 years ago, that probably would have really just grated on me. Mm-hmm. But because I have just kind of processed some of that, and a lot of that has to do with, I think, my personal relationship that I have with Jesus Christ and Heavenly Father, that when, again, this is me, I'm speaking for me. I know a lot of other sisters feel differently, and I completely acknowledge that you feel that way, and that is your prerogative because we are all just trying to figure it out. But I think for me, based on the relationship that I feel like I have with the Savior, that, you know, when stuff is said like that, or when I am in meetings and feel like I'm being dismissed, because yes, that has happened numerous times, you know, oh, little girl, go sit in the corner sort of a thing. In my processing, I'm like, for me right now, I'm like, this is more about you and less about me, because to the male person who has engaged in misogynistic behavior, I am to the point where I'm like, that is way more about you than it is about me, because where I am in my security with my relationship with the Lord and my value that I feel that I have with regards to the Lord, I'm more concerned about my relationship with the Lord. I'm less concerned about what some man who I think has misogynistic tendencies or ideas, and maybe doesn't even know that he does because he's just been raised in that culture.
Right. Well, and from just my personal experience, and I think many of the women speaking here, none of being dismissed is purposeful.
Yes, exactly.
It's very much they're in a leadership role, but we are not set up to be successful because we are not in the same leadership role as them, making the same decisions as them. So, it's none of it is like, I'm a man, so I get the final say. Nobody's saying that. It's just the fact that we don't have women in the room making some of these decisions or offering that perspective as decisions are made from the ward level all the way up. So it's,
I do think though, it is improving.
It's getting better.
It is. We are very, definitely
very slowly.
Very slowly. But we are definitely moving in a better direction.
I have had thoughts about this because this is something I'm very passionate about. Okay,
well, share your thoughts.
Obviously, this is something I'm very passionate about, and just have had a lot of experiences, especially in the past several years, where I'm like, I wonder if things would be different if there were women helping make some of these decisions. Uh-huh. So, I mean, there were so many comments and there were lots of ideas like, hey, you know what? Women don't get to be in discipline councils. Mm-hmm. Women don't get to, you know, have, like, if you're a primary president, everything has to go through the bishop.
Exactly.
So I was thinking, well, I mean, and the comments run the gamut. From women that just want to be able to do their callings without having to have everything approved, like to really feel like they own that calling.
Uh-huh.
To women who want full-blown priesthood. Like, they're all over the place. To women who don't care, who are like, this isn't a problem. So I just think we need more women in the room represented. I think the perspective is important.
I agree with you there.
I think from the very tippy top of the church all the way down.
Yeah.
And so this is my dream world. I just think the possibilities are endless. I think we've lived in this box our whole lives, and this is the way it's done. It's very, small box. This is how we've always done it, which actually, I mean, we haven't always done it.
No.
If you look back in church history, women did play different roles at different times throughout, but we're in this box. And I just think, why are we in this box? There is so much we could do that has nothing to do with changing the doctrine.
Very true.
I have narrowed down two things.
Okay. What are your two things? I'm anxious to hear.
According to me, that could be a huge game changer without changing the doctrine.
Okay.
So. That I think would just be amazing for women and men in the church.
Okay.
It would offer the perspective. What if Relief Society presidents came to bishopric meetings?
Oh.
And this went all the way up. Stake High Council meetings. The women stake leaders are in the Stake High Council.
Wow.
All the way up to the Quorum of the 12. Quorum of the 12 meets. the women leaders are in the meetings. Nobody's getting priesthood. We're not like blowing up the doctrine. Yeah. This is just, they're in a meeting. They're there to offer their perspective, advice.
I like that.
So that was one thing.
Okay, I like that.
The next thing that I would love, love, love to see happen, and again, I don't think this changes any doctrine. I think this could easily be done, is I would love it if the women who have callings in primary president, Relief Society president, Young Women's president, had the autonomy to make their own callings.
Yes.
Pray about it, which they already do.
Yes.
If they could pray about it and issue the calling.
Oh.
Now, the problem is it would still need to be run by the bishop.
Yeah.
Because a bishop knows things that you don't know.
Exactly.
He might know if a person is not wanting a calling at the time or ineligible. But instead of it being like a, hey, bishop, will you pray about this? This is who I want. It's, hey, bishop, I've prayed about this.
I want this person.
This is who I've chosen. And on the spot, he says, it's a red light or it's a green light.
Oh.
He does not take it home and say, well, let me pray about it for 2 days. Because that, that's part of the problem, right? You're called to this position.
Yeah.
You're a president of Relief Society. You're given authority. You're given keys. You're given priesthood power, which is this new term that they're saying we've gotten. But
you got oversight.
Yeah. And then you can't issue the call. You have to wait for the bishop to issue the call or the bishop's counselor to issue the call. I think on the spot, bishop says, yes, I see nothing wrong with that. And you issue the call. You're the president of the organization. You call the person in. You say, I would like to call you to this. You have authority over that organization. The bishop is still over the whole board, but you're given the, you know, autonomy and the trust to make those calls. I don't think there'd be anything doctrinally.
I can't think of anything doctrinally. I don't know what the handbook says, right? I mean, obviously the handbook says right now, you know, calls are issued either through a bishop or a bishopric.
But also it's a handbook.
That's a policy.
We change the handbook all the time.
Yes, we
do. So those were just my personal things that I identified that I was like, this could be amazing.
I appreciate that because like I said, this particular post did not rub me as wrong as it rubbed a lot of sisters. Mm-hmm. And I certainly don't want to minimize anybody who felt that way.
Well, and that's what I loved about the comments where I felt like there was a lot of support in the comments and just lots of wise things said, you know, and one of the funniest ones I thought was so funny was like, look at this. This is so great. We have, you know, thousands of sisters coming here to like share their thoughts and feelings and personal experiences. Happy birthday, Relief Society.
There is some truth to
and
that.
I just think it's so interesting. We've just never seen anything like this before. And I think this is a glimpse into like, look at all these women who have something to say.
Yeah.
And this is their, where they're saying it.
Exactly.
Where else are they?
And maybe this was a real eye-opener for Salt Lake that they went, okay. Yeah. Like I said, still waters run deep, and they had no idea.
Yeah, maybe. So I don't know. It was really interesting to read the comments, and the New York Times picked it up today.
Yes. Yes, they did.
So that, you know.
Okay. All right. Well, we better at least move on to hit a few other news stories tonight. But that was the big one that we did want to spend some time discussing.
Yes.
Okay, so you have the next one. Breaking news today about the Tap Cats.
Oh, yes. Okay, so we have known for a while that Lloyd Newell, our beloved narrator of Music and the Spoken Word, is going on a mission. Or is he going to be a mission president?
He's going to be a mission president in Los Angeles.
So we've been waiting to hear about his replacement, and his replacement has been announced, and it is Derek Porter. He is 42 years old. He's so young.
He is so young. Well, and what's so interesting is the article just says he's 42 years old. He's currently a bishop. He lives in Bountiful, Utah. He's got 6 kids.
Yes.
It said nothing else about him. And this was not a name that was familiar to me. I'm like, who is this cat that's now going to be the Tap Cat announcer?
Is he like a radio DJ?
Yeah. What's his background?
Is he on the news in Utah?
Why did they pick him?
So we looked him up. He's a business guy. He is, what's the name of the blanket company? It's a beauty company.
It's a beauty. He's the CEO of,
what's it called?
A beauty industry group.
Beauty industry group. So I looked that up. I was like, what's beauty industry group? This sounds like Utah New Skin.
Yeah.
Ish. It is not an MLM. I'm happy to report.
Okay, good.
Beauty industry group is a company that owns, or at least under the umbrella is Babe Lash.
If you've ever heard of that, put it on, grow your lashes
out. It's Lash Serum. It's excellent. I was like, oh, I don't know what that is. And then a bunch of hair extensions.
Yes.
Which.
That just seems so random to me.
Random, but also very Utah.
Now, you watched a video of him. What does his announcer voice sound like?
I watched a video because I was like, well, I got to hear what it sounds like. What if he sounds like Mickey Mouse?
Exactly.
So, he's a very soothing, nice voice.
Okay.
I approve. It'll be great.
And
it's going to be different. I hear a different voice.
I am so curious about what the process was for this.
I know.
Because you really have to have somebody who has that soothing voice. And so, you know, was this someone at, you know, what I lovingly call One Church Plaza who said, hey, I heard Derek speak. He might be really good. Let's audition him. I mean, it's, and it's, I don't think this is a job where he has to give up his day job. Mm-hmm. He probably has to give up his bishop gig, but he doesn't have to probably give up his day job to do this.
Yeah. I'm dying to know.
I would love to know about the process.
What was the audition process? Did they do like an open call, submit a video?
We would have heard if they did an open call.
I don't know.
I think this is, you know, so-and-so knows so-and-so knows so-and-so. I think it was got to be one of those things. Because I'm pretty sure that if they had done an open audition, we would have heard about that.
They just watched his video on YouTube and were like, he has a good voice. Let's go for it.
He's a beauty company. Maybe we can get hair extensions for the women. Some Babe Lash for him. Get a discounted price on their beauty products for the women in the choir. I don't know.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, also this week, the church released their charitable giving for 2023. They provided in humanitarian aid over $1 billion in 2023. That's a 33% increase, and it set a new record high. So this not only includes like monetary donations, it also includes the value of service and things like that. For example, there were 4,119 humanitarian projects in 91 countries. So they counted the time for that. There were 6.2 million hours of volunteer service. So they quantified the time as for that. There were 11,368 welfare and self-reliance missionaries, and so they were able to monetarily quantify that time. I mean, they still gave a good chunk of money, even though they quantified all of this volunteer stuff. They did say there's lots of things we didn't count, like members who go out and serve in their community that is not affiliated with, you know, in ways that are not affiliated with the church. We did not count any of, you know, their hours or anything like that. So it's a pretty
hard to estimate all the hours
that would
even
be,
when you're doing it under the church.
Exactly.
Think of like every ward service project.
Yeah.
How are they even beginning to?
I have no idea. So, and on that same vein this week, the church donated $7.3 million to the American Red Cross and signed a new memorandum of understanding. We have had a relationship with the American Red Cross since, I believe, the 1800s, if I recall correctly. Since the late 1880s. Back then, the Red Cross founder Clara Barton and Emmeline B. Wells of the Relief Society began corresponding about humanitarian aid during the Spanish-American War. So the $7.3 million that we just donated will help purchase blood equipment and biomedical emergency vehicles and will assist with blood donor engagement initiatives and support patients with sickle cell disease. Also, I did not know this, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is one of the largest sponsors of blood drives in the country. We give the American Red Cross a whole lot of blood through blood drives that we do
heard that before.
With our church. And so I thought that was awesome. And their memorandum of understanding was just kind of when it comes to disaster relief stuff, not to duplicate efforts, to say, okay, Red Cross will do this, the church will do that. And again, they've had that memorandum of understanding for a number of years. They just kind of updated and signed it. So I thought that was great.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to Easter. We have a few things going on with Easter. First of all, at the Mesa Temple, they do a musical production every year.
I didn't know they were still doing this.
Well, they were on hiatus when the temple was under reconstruction, but they have been doing it back since they went back to doing it since 2022.
Okay. Doesn't that fall under pageants that we canceled?
Well, apparently it doesn't.
Okay.
And so it's one of the few pageants that we actually have left. Mm-hmm. And they involve 470, a cast of more than 470.
Wow.
That alone is impressive. And so I have never been down there. Now, you have relatives that live down there. You've never seen their Easter?
No, I've never been to the Easter pageant. Been to the temple, but not that
pageant. Do you know if your in-laws or anything ever mentioned the Easter pageant?
I'm sure they've gone.
Yeah.
We've never really talked about it.
Anyway, it just made me kind of want to maybe next year put that on the calendar for a potential trip for Darren and I, because it is one of the few pageants that's left. But I thought that was fascinating. Also on an Easter note, the First Presidency and the Quorum of the 12 are issuing a series of Easter videos. So the first video, there's 15 videos. So each member
They
each got a video. And so the first video was published on Monday, March 18th. And then they are doing daily videos until Sunday, Easter Sunday on March 31st. And so these are short little snippets. I believe there's five or six of them that are out right now. They are really cool Easter videos. I don't recall that they've ever done this before. They've each kind of maybe posted their own Easter message, but to have a specific video and have a daily release of a new apostle doing a video, thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah, very cool.
All right.
Okay, we have some BYU news.
Let's get to BYU.
BYU Hawaii. This one's not great. It's interesting. Kanan Barton, a student at BYU Hawaii, had like dreadlocks in his hair and a little bit longer. He's come up against honor code violations there, and it's been quite the ordeal for him.
It's kind of a really interesting story how it came about. He was standing around with a group of students. He was the only Black student in this group. A security guard came up to him and questioned him whether or not he was a BYU student. He had to pull out his identification and prove that he was a BYU student. And then the security guard says to him, "Your hair's in violation of the honor code. You better get that cut because I'm turning you in."
Yes. And then,
I was snarky about that because I thought it was a really cheap shot.
I know.
And by the security guard.
When are security guards doing, like, I'm curious about this. Is the security guard another student? What's the deal with the security guard?
Well, I have no idea. Oh, I guess, I mean, BYU Provo has its own police department, but, I don't know. The whole thing, how this started, just really rubbed me wrong.
I know. And then that behavior continued. So anyway, he goes in and he actually speaks personally with the president of BYU Hawaii, who is, I can't remember his name. It's in here somewhere. Anyway, because of course the honor code says, you know, clean, modest dress, avoid extremes, hair should be neatly trimmed, but it doesn't say to what length.
It doesn't know. It doesn't anymore.
It does not have a length, and his hair was neat. It was very neatly. It was in the locks. No issues. It's not like he was dirty.
He cleans it. He takes care of it.
He goes to his place, takes care of it. He was fine. And so he went and he talked with the president, and the president kind of made it sound like, oh, you're fine. It's okay. I understand. It's a cultural thing. But then he got turned in again. And this was by a woman, another employee, it sounded like. Turned him in again. And then this time the honor code office was like trying to figure out what to do with him. They were encouraging him, like strongly encouraging him. I don't think they were forcing him,
but
strongly encouraging him to trim his locks. He ended up, I think, like kind of folding them up and pinning them up so they wouldn't be quite as long.
Okay.
Like they were above his shoulders. I don't know. Anyway, this has gone a little bit viral because I heard about this actually over a month ago. There was a guy that had a video about it who was not a member of the church, who was just calling out BYU on its racist policies. And like, you know, the article noted that BYU Hawaii has like such a diverse
student body. Yeah.
And that in the past, it hasn't been like a super big issue. But there have been instances.
Well, and here's where I struggle with the honor code. Okay. I get the no drinking. I get the chastity part of the honor code. You know, all of that is doctrine.
Right.
Okay. All of that are things that we live by. The dress and grooming standards. That is where I struggle, especially when it comes to hair. you know, a lot of these standards came around in the 60s, and a lot of these standards are in response to, you know, counterculture that rose in the 60s. We are so beyond that. And we are now a worldwide church. And in a lot of those countries, people have, especially men, have ways that they wear their hair that are very culturally appropriate for them to wear their hair. And it is not like white guy hair.
No.
And they don't wear their hair like white guy hair.
No, and so why are we be forced to?
It's why ridiculous. Are we trying to make them all look like white guys?
And the like we have more members outside of the exactly. US now that like we have got to start modernizing and updating and being more understanding and accepting of these cultural things.
Exactly.
Just leave people alone. Also, I was so surprised that this was coming out of BYU Hawaii because in general, I think they have a reputation for being way more chill than the BYUs on the mainland. Yeah. So I was like, how is this happening at BYU Hawaii?
Well, and it also just cracks me up. He has a temple recommend he go to the temple with his long hair.
Oh, yeah.
But he can't go to school at BYU.
And I mean, he's a returned missionary. Yeah. I don't know what he did with his hair on his mission.
I think, you know what, the article said on his mission he had it short, but because it's curly, it was in a fro. And his mission president kept always saying to him, can you tame that fro down?
Again, leave the poor kid alone. So anyway, that was our BYU Hawaii story. There is another story about BYU. This one is from the church newsroom. What it's like being Muslim at Brigham Young University. We have three players on our basketball team right now who are Muslim and chose to come to BYU and play basketball, which is pretty cool. Unfortunately, RIP BYU in the NCAA tournament.
Out in the first round. Ouch.
This article was written before that happened.
Yes.
So better luck next time. But they interviewed these students and they just talked about how, like, what a good fit BYU is for them coming from their Muslim background. They knew it would be a place with similar values and, you know, abstaining from alcohol and the chastity. Mm-hmm. That's all very similar to their religion. So they felt very comfortable coming over. And then I thought it was really interesting. They talked about Ramadan. Because they abstain from food and drink from sunup to sundown. And this is going on, you know, obviously
right now
during basketball season. And they talked about, you know, how it is a challenge to get the calories that they need and the energy that they need to play basketball. But they felt like everybody on the team has been so supportive. And I'm sure that the religious background helps with that. We understand the concept of fasting.
Exactly. And they also said, you know, that everywhere they've been at BYU, people have been very respectful of their religion and their values, even though their religion is different from the religion of the majority of the students at BYU. But everybody was like, cool, you know, you do you. And on that same note, I am going to follow up with another story. This was a little bit earlier in the month. Miss Utah, Sarah Sun, she is a BYU student. She now has a new title in addition to being Miss Utah. She is the newest BYU SA president. So she is president of the Student Union Association. Her executive vice president is a Tala Al-Nasser. I don't know if I pronounced that correctly. She is also a Muslim student attending BYU. So we got a lot of diversity going on at the big BYU campus.
That is wonderful.
Which I think is great.
Please
and so,
let them dress and groom themselves the way they want.
Exactly. All right. Our next story. We are going to talk about a garment factory that is expanding. The church has a garment, one of their garment factories is in Paraguay, and they are expanding that garment factory, and Bishop Waddell went down there and visited them, and this is a factory that provides a lot of really good jobs down there, obviously, for members of the church. But I had wanted to have a brief garment discussion, because about a month ago, my husband and I decide, okay, it is time for us to replace our garments. They're looking a little, they're not as wide as we would like them to be. So we go to Church Distribution, which is located inside our Deseret Book. He gets his stuff. I go to pick my tops out and I see this new kind of crossover stretch knit stretch cotton top. And I'm like, what is this? Mm-hmm. And I had heard something that there was a new crossover stretch cotton top, but didn't really know what it was. So I took a look at it. And of course, you can only see the picture on the outside in the package. And so I thought, well, I'm going to get 12 of these because I buy my garments in 12s. And I got two of the regular tops just in case I didn't like these crossovers because I thought, well, I can always bring the crossover back. So I get home, I rip it out of the package, I hold it up, and I'm like, holy crap. This is the best garment top I have ever seen in my whole entire life. My husband said to me, if I had not seen you pull it out of the package, I would have thought you'd altered your garment top.
You thought you were cheating?
Because first of all, like, it doesn't really have sleeves. You could honestly wear probably something somewhat sleeveless with this, and it crosses down in front. So if you are wearing anything with a V-neck, I mean, because I have seen women that I know wear garments that I'm like, how do they get away with that? Oh, this top is how they get away with it. And everything just lays better. Oh, like my blouses lay better. My shirts lay better. I freaking love it.
They cracked the code?
They cracked the code for me on that. Okay. Now, here's the yin to the yang. So my husband likes the crew neck tops. Uh-huh. Okay. He is a child of the 80s. He likes the crew neck top where it shows, you know, yes, the crew neck at the top. So a couple of years ago when the stretch cotton came out, I bought him a couple of the stretch cotton tops and they have a lower neckline without the crew thing. And he hated it. He's like, oh, I can't stand this. Give me the crew top back. So we bought him crew tops. So we pull these new crew tops out, mm-hmm, and I'll be darned if these crew tops have a divot in them and go down and then have the band for the crew top, crew neck. They don't have the crew neck right at the neck. The crew neck is lower. It's like they took the pattern for the stretch cotton garment, mm-hmm, the neckline, and just applied that to the crew neck so that it is a little bit lower and then just threw the ribbing on it. So it doesn't go up to his neck. It goes about an inch down and he hates it.
So it won't peek up above your shirt.
It barely peeks up above your shirt. And he's like, great. The women get what they want. And now I'm stuck with this. And I was like, well, you felt my pain for the last number of years. I shouldn't say he hates it. That's probably a strong word. He just doesn't really like it. So he's going with it
because he has no other options.
He has no other options. And I'm like, well, welcome to my world for a number of years.
How the tables have turned.
Yes.
I would like to know, did they put a woman in charge of making the men's garments?
I have no idea. And I should say, he bought 12 as well. There were about three packages that did have the crew neck that went all the way to the neck, but the majority of them divoted down about an inch and then the ribbing for the crew neck went on. Like, it seriously looked
maybe
like
it was like a factory glitch.
I don't know. It seriously looked like the stretch cotton, only they had just thrown a band of the crew neck band on it.
Well, this is not good. I dare say my husband will not be pleased to hear this.
I think a lot of men are going to be pleased. Anybody who grew up in the 80s, because everybody I know who grew up in the 80s, all the men, they like those crew neck garments.
Yes. Yes, yes. Okay, that's so funny.
All right.
Got to keep your eyes on those garments. They're always changing.
They're always changing. All right. Before we move on to Mormons behaving badly, do you have any conference predictions you'd like to make?
I do not, except the one that we discussed together, which was we thought there is a possibility of a Kirtland Temple being announced. In conjunction, not
a remodel of the current Kirtland Temple.
Nothing to do with the current, just, well, now we've got this one, we're going to build an actual one somewhere close. That was what we kind of both talked about. But
we did.
No, I'm not good at conference predictions.
I am not either. I still keep thinking we're going to get a third temple over here in the western part of Idaho. I still think a third temple close to the Oregon border to serve those saints who live in the eastern part of Oregon.
Do you think we can staff it?
I think if it was a mini temple, we could staff it. If it was one of the smaller temples, you know, like what they put in Burley, but who knows? All right. Before I go on to Mormons behaving badly, I do want to thank our sponsor tonight. As you know, Postum, the coffee alternative, has been sponsoring us this year. In fact, I was going to bring you over a Postum drink tonight.
She's still I still haven't tried it. She keeps promising me to post them.
I got busy and I forgot. And I have a Postum recipe I want to make. So maybe I can get that done in April. Okay. So we do want to thank Postum for being our sponsor tonight. They are slowly growing on me. And part of it is I'm not really a hot drinks person, but I don't mind them, especially with how Holly Kassos told me to do it with the oatmeal creamer in it. Okay. So, and they've got a chocolate Postum that's actually not too bad either.
That's the one I want to try.
All right. I will bring that over to you.
Okay.
Okay, Mormons behaving badly. Just a couple of updates. Really quick, they released a bunch of sealed documents in the Ruby Frankie case now that she has pled guilty and been found sentenced. They released a lot of the police reports. And let me tell you, the abuse is even more horrific than we thought. Ruby Frankie kept journals about the abuse and how she was like trying to discipline her kids and teach them obedience. Oh. And after reading what came out, I'm just like, whatever time she got, which I think was somewhere between like 4 and 7 years, I don't remember, wasn't enough.
Oh, no.
Okay. Chad Daybell. He is set to begin trial on April 1st.
Oh, here we go again.
Here we go again. A couple things are going to be different this time, folks. First of all, this trial will be televised.
I hadn't heard that. How come this one's getting televised?
Well, the reason that this one is getting televised is Chad's lawyer, John Pryor, said, I want cameras in the courtroom and I want this televised. Apparently his client has a tale to tell and wants his tale told. And so there won't necessarily be media cameras in there. It will be the courtroom cameras that are in there that provide a feed and you'll be able to get on. So first of all, I think that that will be very interesting. I wonder if it'll cut down on the number of people who actually want to go to court and watch. I actually have a plan with one of my friends.
Are you going to try to go?
Well, Kristen went last time and I was going to try and go with her and I couldn't make it work in my schedule. But she said, what if you take a day off work and come over to my house and we sit and watch the trial and drink Diet Coke and eat cookies? And I said, oh, I'm all about that. So I think Kristen and I are going to try and pick a day. That's if the trial even happens, because I heard today that they've been in discussions, plea negotiations, but they haven't been able to reach an agreement yet.
Oh, so they're working on a deal.
As of right now, the trial is still on, but because they haven't been able to work out all the nuances of their plea agreement, whether or not they're able to do that, I do not know. That will be interesting to see.
That will be interesting, because we were kind of predicting that, like,
exactly,
he'll probably take a deal. He would
take a deal.
The ordeal of the first trial.
Exactly. So I kind of feel like it's a 50-50 shot that this goes to trial or he takes a plea deal. Also of an interesting note, they had a special prosecutor that they brought in from Missouri, and she left the case in February. And so they have now brought another special prosecutor in, and she is from the Attorney General's office. And so she is assisting Madison and Fremont counties in prosecuting this case.
Why did they bring someone in from Missouri?
This was just someone – I mean, they just didn't have the experience or the resources there. I'm not sure why they chose this Missouri woman other than the fact that she knew what she was doing and had a lot of experience in these types of murder cases and was able to help guide them along. This new special prosecutor from the Attorney General's office, very competent as well. She's done some murder trials. She's actually a special prosecutor on the case up in Moscow for the gentleman who is accused of killing the 4 University of Idaho students. So
yeah, Idaho's struggling.
Anyway, so yes, you can turn to Mormons Behaving Badly for all things Chad and Lori Daybell related.
Yes, but we hope that will be over soon.
We hope that will be over soon. All right, should we do our favorite things? Oh, before we do our favorite things, I brought treats to try tonight.
Oh, a taste test.
So, because it is Easter, I brought Peeps, and I don't think you have tried these.
No.
These are my favorite Peeps, and I think I did these. I think I did these on the podcast when I podcasted Kirtland Temple.
Oh,
this is a s'mores podcast or s'mores peep.
I do like a peep. Peeps are very polarizing.
For me, I brought the Rice Krispie treat Peeps because I have never tried the Rice Krispie treat.
Okay, so the s'mores Peep is dipped in chocolate, but where's the graham cracker?
The graham cracker is the yellow stuff you see on the top.
So it's like graham cracker flavor.
Graham
not
cracker.
Actual graham
yes.
cracker.
Let's see if I can. So what do you think?
Okay, that's good.
I thought it was absolutely delicious.
Delicious. That might be the best peep I've ever had.
Okay.
I mean, I like peeps, but I can usually only eat, like, I don't know, one or two a season.
Okay, so I tried the Rice Krispie treat peeps.
What do you think?
They taste just like a regular peep.
See, that was my problem with the Dr. Pepper peeps.
Okay.
They weren't Dr. Peppery enough.
Well, and I brought those too. So shall I open the Dr. Pepper and see if I agree with you?
Yes. I don't think there were enough Dr. Pepper in the Dr. Pepper peeps.
And I agree. Peeps are polarizing. Not everybody is a fan of the peeps. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I do like the Dr. Pepper cotton candy though. That is very Dr. Peppery.
Well, it has more Dr. Pepper flavor than the Rice Krispie Treat had flavor.
Do you think it's enough?
I actually do.
Maybe I just want more Dr. Pepper.
But I am not the connoisseur of
Dr. Pepper
that you are.
I do love my Dr. Pepper. Maybe it was just not enough for me.
Okay. All right. Well, there's our take on Easter candy and peeps.
Okay. There's your peeps. Okay. My favorite thing that I picked this month is a recipe.
Okay.
And we will put it on our Instagram. It is from one of the food bloggers that I follow, food Instagrams. Her name is Amber's Kitchen, and she specializes in sourdough bread, which I do not make, but she also posts a lot of other really good recipes. And she posted this salad recipe sometime in the past month that I am obsessed with. I make it for myself every other day. Nobody in my family will eat it. So I just make it in a single serving. I'll tell you what's in it. It has, you do a quick homemade dressing and you do it in the bottom of the bowl. You don't mix
really?
It. You don't emulsify it. You just dump a little bit of oil, a little bit of vinegar, a little bit of mustard, and some salt and pepper in the bottom of your bowl.
Okay.
And give it a quick little whisk. And then you put in diced cucumber, diced avocados.
Okay.
You put in, she uses goat cheese, but I use feta.
Okay.
Because I like feta. Pine nuts, roasted pine nuts. An orange, cut up orange, and then arugula. But I use a mixture of arugula and spinach, like a mixture I buy at the grocery store. And then you whip it all together. It is so good.
Okay, that sounds delicious.
It's
you're going to have
so
to send
fresh.
That recipe to me.
Yes, I'll send it to you and we'll put it on the Instagram. It is my favorite salad at the moment.
Okay. Well, I actually have two tonight. I came here with one, and then I tried something at your house, and I was like, oh, I have to use that.
She stole it.
I stole it. So last week, a week ago, I was flying for work. We were somewhat delayed taking off because the plane was having mechanical issues. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and so, you know, once we got in the air, I flipped open my iPad to watch something. Mm-hmm. And I had downloaded a couple of shows from Netflix. And so here is what I watched, because this is how twisted I am, while I'm in an airplane flying.
Oh no. Did you watch an airplane crash show?
Downfall, The Case Against Boeing.
Oh.
It is a documentary on Netflix and it is so good. My daughter Lauren, who is the one who wants to be a pilot, said, Mom, you got to watch this. And you know me, I'm like completely obsessed with airplane crashes.
So is this new since the latest door plug incident, or was this made before the
this
door plug
This was
incident?
Made before the door plug incident.
Which we know they've had problems.
Exactly.
Time, so.
Exactly. So anyway, I highly recommend it.
I can't believe you watched that on an airplane. That's hilarious.
I know. It kind of really was. I'm sitting there watching it. I'm like, well, this is probably somewhat twisted. But I guess anybody who knows me and knows my love of aviation and airline crashes probably doesn't find this odd at all.
Okay. Is that how you want to die?
No, I do not want to die in an aviation crash. No.
I mean, nobody wants to die. But if you had to go out, I could see that being your perfect scenario. As long as it was quick.
Yes, because see, here's the problem. Most of the time, you don't die in the airplane crash. Believe it or not, the media makes you think anytime a plane crash, everybody dies. Statistically speaking, that is not the case. Statistically speaking, there are a lot of survivors with really nasty injuries.
Oh, no.
I don't want to be a survivor with really nasty injuries.
No, if it goes down, you definitely need to die.
Exactly.
Ugh.
Okay, so here's my other favorite thing. So I got over here and I was really hungry. I don't know why. I had a good dinner, but I was like, Ariane, I need something to eat. So I go in your kitchen and I start raiding your kitchen, and you have some bread on the counter. And it was called croissant loaf. There's a picture of it for those of you that are on YouTube. And so I grab a piece of this bread and I start ingesting it. And I'm like, holy mother of all things yummy and delicious. Where did you get this? I need this in my life. And you told me it comes in a 2-pack at Costco.
It's from Costco.
Like
it's a croissant, but it's a slice of bread.
Oh, it is delicious. Like Granny Bee, that's like cardboard. Granny Bee's homemade bread. No, 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 no. You want the croissant bread. It is a Saturday tomorrow and I do not care. I am hauling my butt to Costco to get the croissant bread because it was so good.
Good luck with that.
Okay. All right. Well, I think that about wraps it up for us tonight, listeners. We did go a little long tonight, but we had a lot to talk about. So thank you for staying with us. As always, you can find This Week in Mormons on the X, on Instagram. I will get our favorite things up on Instagram as well as on Facebook. If you have any questions or comments, you can reach out to comment@thisweekinmormons.com. And of course, you can become a Patreon subscriber for $3 a month or any amount that you choose. You can get access to the extra content on Patreon. And Ariane and I are going to stick around tonight. And I'm going to tease what we're going to do on Patreon. Okay. We are going to do some extra content on Patreon. And we are going to deep dive into the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
It is time.
It is time. So anyway, TWIM Nation, thank you very much. We appreciate your listening and your support.
Thanks for listening.